keep it all right.
Happy 420.
Happy 420.
Happy Easter also.
Yeah, that too. Hey, you're listening to YMP Minis. We are talking about the Degrassi Minis from season 5, numbers 1 through 4 today.
And I mean, this is a one to start on, I guess, because this is part 1.
Don't you forget about me.
And I feel like though we were talking before we recorded about like, are these canon? Are these canon events? And like, I think maybe they started out with that intention to be like things we didn't get time to see, but I don't think so.
Well, it just seems weird to me that Sean would show back up at Degrassi. I mean, not at Degrassi, he's at the Dot.
Right.
But like randomly at the beginning of the season 5 school year. And we just don't hear about it ever.
We don't hear about it. No one sees him except for
Ellie.
And then, you know, I don't think that that would be the person that he would come back for. No offense to Ellie.
No, no.
I just think like, he has other things to come back for. Like, that would maybe make more sense for him to gravitate towards first. It kind of doesn't make sense to me that it's that that's where he goes and that it's not pointed like, I came here to see you. No, I'm just at the Dot and like, I did come here to see you, but I'm mysteriously here with an, you know, like, it feels like.
What bank is going to give Sean Cameron a loan?
And it's super like Hallmark Channel. These people are in high school. Okay. They are not grown people. Right. Like you said, no bank is giving him. There is no delinquent child program.
No, where he's 18 now. But like, I refuse to believe that Sean Henry has or that Sean Cameron.
Sean Henry.
Sean Henry is a friend of mine. And I like he's always Sean Henry. He's never Sean.
I love that because
even
if
when
name
I'm talking to him, like I'll be like, hey, what's up, Sean Henry? And so when I say Sean, that's the instinct.
People love to shorten a name. So I love when there's like a combination name or like a long name that does not get shortened. I love that shit. But shout out to Sean Henry.
What up, Sean Henry? Love you, man.
I feel very like that's why this must not be canon, because it's like this is an it's a plausible, but it's also an improbable scenario. Like he wouldn't probably not do this.
I mean, this I don't seems like it's Sean coming to eventually open like a bike shop.
No, that or part whatever, sounds but like what we know of Sean. That could be something that he does, but what doesn't seem like it is like. What doesn't seem like Sean is the timing, the randomness, and like how pointed he is like, oh, I want Ellie. I came back for her.
Right.
And I'm ripping up these documents because Ellie does not want anything to do with me. It seems like it's more from Ellie's point of view. Like it's what would Ellie do? If Sean came crawling back at this point.
Right. It seems like Ellie daydreaming.
It doesn't seem like anything that would actually be based in any reality for Sean. Because Sean is not going to, like, he's the one that left. And of course they explain it, like, I had to go. And
I get that it was fucked up to do to her, and she shows him no grace for, like, the fact that, like, he almost died and maybe killed
yeah,
a kid.
Right.
He would have died if the other kid hadn't died instead.
And I think we talked about that in, like, around the time that the shooting happened, and, like, being sort of sympathetic toward Ellie in that she did get abandoned. But I think her abandonment issues cloud her judgment in being able to see Sean as an actual person in this situation. He is just a problem. He is just somebody who left her, and like she is demonizing him rather than trying to like see what he's like very clearly struggling with. He doesn't have to come back in a mirage at the Dot for you to know that his ass was struggling.
Well, and I think that's part of what makes it feel like Ellie daydreaming is like, you know that person who hurt you and you can't let it go for a while. So you picture, you know, you make believe that a million times that you run into them somewhere and they want you back and you're like, nope, sorry.
Exactly. That's what it's giving. It's giving, oh, I ran into you out and I'm moving on. And like the satisfaction of her being able to say like, oh no, I don't have like a boyfriend or anything, but like, that doesn't matter. I don't want you anymore, Sean.
Right.
It feels so ideal scenario. And I know that people who've been broken up, grown people still feel that way. Like, oh, blah, blah, blah. Like it's not exclusive to teenagers, but like she was the one that was left. So of course she in this fantasy gets to do the leaving. And that must feel like it's rewarding, but like it's not based in reality because this shit is just like too convenient.
They're fucking weird.
Mm-hmm. The tone is different. It's definitely like this is an Ellie serving sort of event. This is like all about what would Ellie do if Sean randomly came back into town and approached her and professed his love and said how wrong he was.
She would go back to him in a heartbeat.
Yeah. I think that this episode is trying to make her like infatuation with Craig be the anchor of her right now. Like when that's also not better. Like can we talk about like that's not better, Ellie? Like you feeling holier than thou because you now have a crush on another problematic person for you,
right,
who doesn't really like you that much. Like at least at this point I would respect you more if you engage with this dream like Sean, because at least he likes you.
Yeah,
like
nobody likes you
still playing around on you. I guess we do get kind of like a contrast between like the dream, if we're going with this whole Ellie is fucking dreaming.
Maybe it's Sean dreaming.
In this one, is it? But does that track with what we know about Sean at this point?
Well, maybe it's not daydreaming. Maybe it's dreaming, and dreaming is weird.
Yeah. It's not like he didn't love her. He just didn't. He was not in the right headspace to stay.
It's okay if he didn't love her. I get it.
It's also okay if he didn't love her. What else? This was like a cool like 2 minutes and 50 seconds. I think another thing I wanted to mention is just they talk so much in such a short amount of time.
So much.
It's so much content in 2 minutes and 51 seconds. And only like 2 of 3 of those seconds are like the logo or the intro. So you really do have like maybe 2 minutes and 45 seconds of like, yap. Like, this is why I did this. This is why I did that. Do you know how much this would have been teased out if this were actual pertinent information that was canon?
Right.
They're succinct in their delivery. They're not using any filler words. Nobody's getting interrupted. Nobody's breathing too much. it's great, but it's not real.
Should we move on to Notorious?
which is a funny title. This is a 3 minutes and 33 seconds of
awkward.
Awkward, yeah. Notorious 102. It's like Manny and Marco, which is a pairing that we see, but like not enough to like justify some of their relationship beats and stuff.
This one feels like Manny and Marco are acting out a scene, not like at Adamo and Cassie, but like Manny and Marco are acting out a scene it's weird. It's like there's like this disconnect between the minis and like Degrassi reality, and I don't care for it. It's a little unsettling.
You're like, I'm not having a good time here. Also, the mic might be a tad close to your face, your mouth.
Go fuck yourself.
That's still a little far. Bring it a little closer.
Go fuck yourself.
That's properly distanced. Okay.
My apologies.
Yeah, it's not the, I think the pacing is off. The like, maybe it's different who writes them or something, but like they feel like a skit.
Yeah.
It feels like a skit versus what these characters actually act like in the space of the regular show. Because Marco acts like some version of this, but he also can be very caricature-y depending on the episode, whereas Manny's way more like consistent.
Right. This is the most like well-rounded I feel like Marco's been in a while. Because I feel like even in Marco heavy episodes, Marco is like kind of a caricature of himself.
He is. And what the fuck does he, why does he have a bandana on that he ponytailed?
Because that is just what he was doing this season.
It's atrocious. And I'm the fact that I did not get a close up on this in real time episodes makes me believe that this is not canon too. I'm going to forgive. Okay. I'm going to choose to forgive. I can't forget.
So whose daydream is this? Is this Manny's where like there's a guy at Degrassi who doesn't sexualize her and will listen to her feelings about things?
I think that that would be Manny's wet dream, yes.
It's getting very play within a play.
Mm-hmm.
Which means maybe, I don't know, maybe the minis are brilliant and I'm going to have to watch them all.
They're meta, Caroline.
Okay.
They are doing the work of being self-referential.
They're doing something.
they're like,
I will give you that.
How do we do something so bold? Something.
I liked the remix of Manny's boob shot.
Yeah, like, and you can sell this for $1 million. Famous. I would tear that up in the club. Don't play that in the club if you don't want me to go crazy.
I feel like you should add that in before you publish, because it's a banger.
I could do it under us jamming, like, yeah. Oh yeah, I'll add that. I'll totally fucking add that. It's so bad how much that video must be circulated. And I think I do like the mini for that aspect, because we don't get that much of that aspect in the main show.
And Peter still only gets 5 weeks detention.
Peter the fucking Menace is like getting this like pre-ad revenue, like, like viewership. Well, like, I don't even know, because he distributed it.
Do we think, did Peter remix it?
I feel like maybe Peter, like, got a hold of, like, just got some burner accounts and just started wreaking fucking havoc.
I believe it.
Because why is he so docile the whole season after that?
Those 5 weeks of detention really taught him something.
They really turned it. A new leaf over that boy.
He learned about himself. He learned about consent. He learned about respect.
All of that was taught staring at a blackboard in detention.
Yeah, being made fun of by Snake.
Supervised by Snake. Right?
Snake's just like sitting there roasting him.
He's just popping into roast. He's like, I have nothing to say to you other than to like just give you my daily dose of roast. Just.
He's like, you sex-crimed my favorite daughter.
not my favorite daughter. Yeah, it's not, I think the taste of this one is not to like question. I think it's funny. This is one of the more popular minis I remember them playing of like, you know, he might, ooh, I'm getting really hot. Nothing.
Like, yeah, like it's funny. Part, like Marco or Adamo does that well.
Yeah, the timing is good on that. I think they work well together, but it doesn't necessarily feel like Marco and Manny.
It's weird how forced it feels considering how good their chemistry is.
Yes. No, I 100% agree with that. That's a lot of the takeaway I had is like, okay, they did the best that they could with what they had. What they had was not very much.
No.
But that's a testament to their abilities and their like how they acted off of each other, because it's a very physical scene, and if you don't have somebody that's like right there with you trying to make it as good as could possibly be when it's shitty, then it's just gonna fall flat. And it's better to me than whatever the writing was better in the first mini,
but the acting is better
in this one,
but it all still feels forced.
Yeah,
like who like is it having
exist in this is world
is this all just like Terry's coma dream?
That could be good. Terry's just like theorizing about like, because she has prior but knowledge of her friends. But how does she know about
Peter?
She, maybe somebody comes and talks to her still, like at her bedside.
It's okay, I could buy that.
Do we know maybe that she got out of the bed?
You know what? Maybe it's Toby.
Maybe we can give Toby something to fucking do. I'm happy with that. Toby goes because they had those interactions via fucking
via Ashley, and then he was friends with Rick.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think that would track. Like, he needs an outlet. He needs to go. He can't start a podcast yet. It's not time yet. So he goes and he talks to Terry,
and that's how we got Degrassi Minis.
I'm here for it too, because it's got to be explained. There's a POV here somewhere, and so with this information that Terry has gained from Toby, who does not know everything. He right. himself is getting pilfered knowledge through the grapevine and shit. So he is making assumptions, whatever, jumping to what. So he is kind of giving her what he has. And she is like the current event of it all. And she is filling in those gaps because she has a closer relationship with some right. of these people.
Yeah.
I think that's
the only thing that makes sense. Marco's
like, I'm just gay. And Ellie's like, I'm just bad at being abandoned. And I think that that's, she captured it perfectly. She cooked. Ellie's like, I fucking hate you. Manny's like, my boobs are being distributed and remixed all over the internet. You don't want to have sex with me because you're not into girls of my, because like I feel like that's such a box to put Marco in. Also, can we talk about that? Like, that's Marco's like, I've got absolutely nothing from you in particular, and that bar is very low,
right?
Because it's not like she is close to his type. She's not like a feminine version of Dylan or anything to like have some sort of like comparative experience.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much like, I don't like you, Manny, so that means
yeah, I hadn't thought about that.
I think that I think about the sexuality in this show way too deeply because they underthink it, and I don't think
it's way too deeply. I mean, we have a Degrassi podcast. It's not serious. And what's the point of having a Degrassi podcast other than to like
get very way
overanalyze it?
It's because I guess because it's so scrap, like the scraps we get. Like, I feel like with Paige and Alex, the lines are so much simpler. But because I'm not a gay man, I don't like some of the dynamics. Obviously, I'm guessing upon from personal experience with family members and stuff. But like a lot of the things that Marco has to deal with are super superficial, because right. they're an understanding of that's they're being written by someone who probably does not have any understanding of what they're writing about.
Yeah. Yeah. No, definitely. That's how it kind of comes across.
So it's like the way he's like, oh, this does nothing for me. I don't know that, like, and that can be perfectly relevant to a gay man's like physical experience. Like, oh, I don't, but we know historically there have been gay men who have had entire relationships and families and everything.
He hooks up with Ellie.
It's not like it's repulsive. It's just not your thing. And I think that, like, for me as a gay person, I have to be like, you know that it's a spectrum and it's not, ew, icky, I don't like that. No. Like, it's just like reference right. usually. And it's not like a revulsion. And I think right. that's what this episode, this mini, was like hammering. And like, he is like low-key not into any sort of Manny's bod. And that's what everybody else is into, is Manny's bod. So they're like, Manny is feeling something in this moment. Like, am I not being objectified? I mean, you kind of still are being objectified. It's just in a different way.
Oh, Manny.
Because, yeah, it's not my favorite dynamic, because that's what they have to bond over. They have to first establish that, like, Marco is not attracted to mm-hmm. Manny, because that's what Manny's primary function is at this time, is to be attracted to.
Yeah.
She's the prey. People are looking at her in the halls and, like, leering at her and seeing her body under her shirts and shit. So it's like, it's weird that's the baseline they have to go with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel bad for Manny, but I also am like, this show is just so weird sometimes. Like, that's the storyline. We got to have Manny and Marco, but wait, you know that people are going to wonder why they're not like attracted to each other. No, people know that Marco's gay. Are you sure that people know that Marco's gay? Don't. I think that we need to just spend a couple of minutes hammering that home. But a couple of minutes is the mini. Do you get that a couple of minutes is the mini? So we're just talking about Marco being gay and Manny not being the object of his affection. Yes.
And also, we're going to remind you that everybody saw her boobs.
Everybody saw her boobs. Let's throw Diplo
now
remix in there.
Now you can dance to them.
Like, I don't know if that's Diplo. That's literally just what came to my head. Don't roast me if you like Diplo, and if that's not what that remix was. Someone was like, we want to work this remix hook in there. Like, I've had this teed up and ready to go. Notorious was interesting.
It was something.
The chemistry saved it. The writing was just, the concept, the writing. Honestly, the framing and where it's taking place is weird. Why are they in the computer lab? That's a little weird. I know yeah. that it's supposed to be inconsequential, but if you really think about it, this is happening in the computer lab when? Why? Why are they the only two people? Like, it's after school, but they're the only two people sitting in there.
I feel like a lot of shit happens in the computer lab. Because here's the thing, is you don't have to have, like, you could be doing any kind of homework in the computer lab.
Yeah.
And kids stay late after school to do homework in places like the computer lab or the library.
Right. Like, so I never, the reality for me was we had a computer lab in middle school that was a contained room like that. But then in high school, the computers were like along bordering the entire wall of like half of the library. So there was no concentrated lab. You were posted up in the open.
Well, but as far as we know, just because Degrassi became a high school doesn't mean that it stopped being a middle school. So it has a computer lab and a library.
Yeah. So if I could think of, like, my middle school computer lab, some shit could have gone down in there. For sure. That room was like, that was a room. where you could like, and I think this is more like the MI lab has like the wall, so Spinner's able to walk by and be like, whoa, I thought you were gay. Wait a minute.
Why does he have a Band-Aid on his face?
Right. Let me mind my Christian business, won't I? Yeah, it's not explained why the Band-Aid. And I think this one will probably fall. Like, it's got to fall after, way after, like, at least a couple episodes after Venus.
Right. Well, which is weird, right? Because Sean's been gone a year in Don't You Want Me Part 1. Mm-hmm. But he left right after the shooting, and the shooting anniversary isn't until some point.
That Whack Your Brain Redemption happened song. Toward the end of the year, yeah.
Yep, and Redemption yeah. Song. Okay, but That's... like, but this is like beginning of the year, right? It's yes, the first mini.
Right. This is this, well, yeah, it's the second mini. But it doesn't feel yeah. like, it feels like this has been out.
Well, no, I was
out.
Talking about Sean coming back.
Yes, Sean coming back is the beginning of the year, but maybe there's supposed to be some, there's got to supposed to be some space in between them because it's like, that happens.
But it also can't be the beginning of the year if it's been a year since the shooting.
It also cannot be the beginning of
but
the year.
But maybe she so. Just said you left last year.
And Marco came out. On stage, like he's known to be out, it like kind of.
He's out at school, like that part doesn't.
So Manny, like, I'm just
I think
trying
we
to get
also
some markers.
Can't think about the timeline too much,
right? Like the timeline's gonna fucking annoy us. That's let's just not stress ourselves out. Because
do you want to move on to
yeah,
the next one?
They don't want us to think about the timeline. Let's not do it. Yeah, the next one is actually a great description for the plot of what's going on here. Bizarre love triangle. we've got more I of think, Ellie.
Yeah, I think, though, that this one, if it's not Terry in a coma, right, then this is like Manny daydreaming.
Yeah.
Because she
Manny's
knows that
like,
Ellie's into her man.
Seeing Red Dream. This is her, like, getting ready to wake up and like put like that black combat makeup on her face and like key Ellie's mom's car in the dead of night.
Or like just start leaving little airplane bottles of vodka around for her to find, hoping one day it'll break her.
Break her mom's sobriety. You think of it, Manny, is that fucking cutthroat? You know, only if Emma gave her that fucking idea, because that Emma, I believe, could come up with that fucking ruthless ass fucking child of the corn shit.
Yeah.
You're like, it's only, it's day 35 of me leaving these fucking mini bottles out on the, you know, outside of your mom's car on the windshield or wherever the fuck. She's gonna crack, bitch.
She's like slipping them into the glove box.
Oh my God.
Hiding them around Mrs. Nash's place of employment. There's just like, she opens a desk drawer. She gets a package like, in the mail and one pops out like a jack in the box.
She's like, who is terrorizing me? What are you waiting for? She's over the shit. Like, she's gonna run into the street and like demand in her peach fucking button up. Indignant. Irate. Yeah.
All because her daughter fucked with Manny's man.
Did you hear how happy Manny was when I will harp on it forever. When Craig said she was going to a band. Craig's taking me to see a band.
And he's like, it's not that serious.
He's literally like, this is the bare minimum that I should be doing for you as a musician. This is research. This is kind of not even a good time for me.
It's like it's actually kind of gonna be a pain in the ass for you to be there, like, right, shaking your ass on me. Like, love you, Manny. Swear.
They're like, I want to pay attention to, like, what the fuck their set list looks like. I want to know if we're actually playing some dynamic shit and you're going to be trying to get me to, like, stare into your eyes and, like,
right,
hold your purse while you pee. And I just can't. Yeah, it's very much giving this is the bare minimum dude. And he just had, like, it's always the guys that think that they don't have to do anything that don't do anything.
Right.
And that's kind of Craig. He's like, he deserves none of this fighting, but, or like territorial pissing, because literally Ellie and Craig are probably the cutest that they ever are in this mini. And I will say that, like, that is probably, it feels pretty organic for them to be playing a video game together rather than the weird fucking ghost moment of him playing the drums for her, though it's, well, been established that she can play the drum.
Of course it does, because it's like Manny's daydreaming, except it's a nightmare.
Right, like, this chemistry doesn't actually exist.
Only in Manny's worst fears, like...
And that's why it's the best they ever have. That's why it's the best chemistry that is ever literally conjured on this show between these two people. Except for maybe, like, when he's on coke. I have a fondness for that scene. We'll get there. It's very sad for Emma. Goodness.
Ellie.
Well, that comes into play. For Ellie, that is, like, the only time it's believable for me.
Yeah, I'm surprised she doesn't walk into the ocean right then and there.
Because, like, geez, it's just not... It's not believable. Otherwise, it's like, it's forced, they're better off as friends, and that's all I really see. This, I can see how someone would think that they're fucking. That's, yeah, what Manny thinks. That's the fucking chemistry. That's the chemistry you have with somebody when you've gotten intimate in some way. I'm being crass, but you know. But you know what I mean. There's, like, more intimacy than what has actually occurred between these two. But, and that's what that, like, playful shoving and everything in would indicate. Like, they don't actually deal with each other like that.
No, not at all.
You're like, no. No.
No. No, Craig is, like, so not into her.
He's really not. And I feel like it should be... It is her point of view, Manny's, that, like, she doesn't quite know what's going on when she's not there. And maybe this is following her walking in on them having that moment.
Yeah.
And so she's like, well, what happens when I'm not there?
Exactly. And
she's waking up in a cold sweat, and Emma's like, I am not gonna make you a toasty sandwich like your mom, but I might rub your back if you stop crying. She's fucking sobbing. She's like, you're gonna wake the child up. You're gonna wake Jack up. And when he's woken up, we're all up. So shut up, bitch.
Nobody will sleep for a week, Manny.
Yeah, I feel so bad for Manny. This is her worst. She's not dreaming about her boobs or having nightmares about her boobs on the internet. She is having nightmares about this. This is what she's having nightmares about.
I like how quickly this has gone off the rails from, like, us, like, discussing the minis to us turning it into our fan fiction based on the fan fiction that is the minis.
I mean, what do you come here for, guys?
I mean, well, yeah.
Love us or leave us alone, probably.
I wasn't complaining. I'm impressed. I'm impressed.
You're impressed at our ability to take a task and bastardize it. Never underestimate us, okay? We got skills. Yeah, I think it makes it more entertaining because as much as these wannabe fan fiction, there's still some gaps, okay? There needs to be some things that they cannot establish in the last one was 3 minutes. Why is my iPad locking me out now? Stop locking me out, man. Okay, Bizarre Love Triangle is 2 minutes and 19 seconds, but it feels longer.
It feels very long.
Like, it drags and it drags and it drags and it drags.
I'm sorry, I don't love the minis, guys, and you can hate me for, like, I'm going to watch them and I'm going to enjoy watching them, but, like.
And I think that we did, like, a good assessment of, like, keeping them in a four-pack because I would have been somewhat upset if the cattail, if the Don't You Forget About Me was not resolved. You know, I would have been really upset.
Right. Is that like, what we're walking into now?
Yeah, because, like, what else happens but Manny pissing all over Craig and being right. like, that's my man. It better be all jokes or I'll rip your hair out, bitch.
I will make your mom drink again.
I will destroy make you your life.
Do self-harm again. Watch me, bitch.
Do we think that Manny is truly Darcy levels of
no,
wicked.
No, that's the thing is like, well, no, and that's the thing is that's why it's Manny's fantasy because Manny could never be that mean.
Right. In her fantasy, she is able to like literally piss on her man in mm-hmm. front of her enemies and then like eviscerate them, like following said pissing.
And I think it still works if it's Terry hallucinating or having coma dreams, because who was Terry's BFF? Ashley.
Yeah. I think that, yeah. Yeah. And there's not any foreseeable minis that, like, we'll see if our theory holds up, because this is only the first four pack. We'll see if we could continue this, like, narrative of these being Terry's fucking coma dreams.
But for now, let's wrap up Don't You Forget About Me.
Yeah. This is, hopefully the last fucking part. We did not look ahead. It is Jay's turn to confront, accidentally, Sean Cameron in the wild, ordering some kind of mayo sandwich.
He wants a sandwich with so much mayo.
Which, like, I love mayo, but I don't think I'd actually order that because I think spitefully people put, like, an inedible amount of mayo on mm-hmm. things. When you say extra mayo, they're just like globs of it.
Yeah, no, you want like extra mayo on the side.
On the side is always safest because if they drench your shit in mayo, that's just rude and I'm not eating that.
Right.
But yeah, so this is another thing that like, maybe this is like Jay's worst nightmare because he's like, why wouldn't you tell me you're here? You're my only friend in the world.
Right. He says, since you left, Spinner's Christianed out. All my friends are drug dealers whose names I don't even know. And good luck getting Alex back. And Sean is like, bro, that's not my problem
right.
at all.
He's like, I feel for you, but I also don't care.
He's like, remember that time I almost died because you pulled a dumb prank?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that time I'm going to be traumatized forever?
Yeah. Jay is just like, hey, bummer times. There could be a party tonight. Like, no, I feel bad for Jay because I really think the amount of times he's expressed that he is lonely and that he has no friends is concerning. Like, he's crying. He's like actively like,
yeah, no,
I need a flock. I am not comfortable being alone. Like, I don't know that you guys understand. I'm just showing up at people's houses at this point.
I mean, honestly, Linus is gone. He could go in and take over the Friendship Club.
He would rock Friendship Club. He would fucking rock. Are you kidding? And now Melinda's gone. Melinda. Why Melinda? It feels like there's a spot. Just ready for him to be depraved. And like his charismatic, do you want to join a cult that involves taking your shirt right. off type of guy. But don't most cults at some point probably involve that?
Yeah.
The sexual undertones in most cults are really just a whole nother podcast. So I feel, yeah, I feel like it's funny that Sean's like, yeah, I came here literally to like get my girl back. And that's not happening. I came back for her. Why do you think I'm here? Tore up some papers and now I'm going back on a bus that it's conveniently nearby that I can just order a sandwich casually and then get to in time.
And they're going to put an appropriate amount of mayo for a bus sandwich on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, okay, but here's my, so here, no, this further supports, it's at least somebody's fan fiction, because if he's back for Emma, then why did he try to kiss Ellie in part one?
So wait, why did he try to kiss Ellie in part one of this mini?
Yeah. If he came back for Emma.
Because he's an indecisive little bitch.
I love the very clearly Sharpie tattoos. Like, Sean's is even smudged a little.
The way that they could, that would take so much shading. And probably hurt their little peckage. At least Sean would have been going through that. Like, that's a big ass tattoo to get on your breast.
Right. It's like, so thick.
It's thick. It's a thick ass tattoo. No one thought about that. No one thought about the thickness of the tattoo and the reality of that situation. So,
because it's Emma's fantasy.
Mm-hmm. He got it the biggest, thickest tattoo he could get. That's my man. Yeah. Yeah. And if we want to go with, like, why did Ellie get simped to and, like, apologize to in the beginning if it wasn't her fantasy, maybe he felt sorry for her. But, like, that doesn't support what he literally says. Like, he came back to get her back. But, like, he could come back with that plan and get either of those girls back.
Yeah.
Not require an end target. He could decide he wants Ellie. And then he could also decide he wants Emma. They've got the same letters in their name.
No, but he's got it all spelled out. It's already, he's got the full tattoo. It's Emma.
I saw that. But he could also just only show Ellie the E, and she would probably not question it.
He's just never going to take his shirt off around her. Or just until the Sharpie washes off.
He's just going to walk around, like, doing the cha-cha. Is this where you put your hand for the cha-cha?
I don't know what that is that you're doing there.
I'm hailing a cab, honey. I don't know. But, like, does he take off his shirt? Maybe his, the white, you know, the white tanky toppies, as I'm going to try to call them to avoid calling them the non-PC thing that is they were called for years. It's just in my head. I think the cut of that would probably... Well, no, that's thick as hell. I don't know. It's a thick-ass tattoo. I don't think
there's, like, no hiding that tattoo from a partner for long.
She could also just, like, hook it. Like, pull it. Like, hook the tank top, like, pull it across the bicep and, like, see the remainder of the under his armpit. Oh, it's so bad. It's not.
Yeah, I think it's, for now, my theory is that the minis are Terry's coma dreams. I know we saw her awake, but
we also got zero resolution to what her prognosis, her treatment plan. She could have slipped back into a fucking coma for all we know.
Maybe it's not Terry's, like, coma dream. It's just like she still like keeps up with everybody on the very early social media that's happening. Mm-hmm. You know, like you people had live journals by then.
Mm-hmm. Do you read my blog?
Mm-hmm.
I think that that would be, because who's going to share too much like pertinent life info that's like beyond a certain point on their blog? So I think that could, like, because it's got to be through some, it can't be primary sources for a lot of it. Like, it, like, primary sources that have been, directly told. Like, right. Someone walking up to you and saying, hey, this is what is going on in my life. Like, you could get someone's journal, not even a journal entry, because you would be properly candid in your own journal entry. Something I just, like.
I feel like all of these characters read like they were written by somebody who like has heard all about them, mm-hmm. but has never met them in person.
Yeah. And I think that's kind of what the angle had, like it's giving that very strongly. And that's what it all, the framing Why? Is like, it's not as intimate. It's mm-hmm. very like matter of fact, a lot of it. And it's very contained. Which, yeah, I'd buy. It's these people do not know who they are writing about.
Which is weird. Did they just bring on all new writers and be like, you can't actually watch any Degrassi?
Maybe they gave them like a reference Bible of like a character walkthrough. But they never get to see the actors act, because that brings the character and their mannerisms and all of that alive.
Right.
To help you write them better. And you don't know the actors to get that back. Because a lot of the backstory of the actors goes into writing the fucking characters. I don't know. You're getting stripped of three layers. Maybe that's how they, because they didn't have time for the main writers to write the minis and write the show. So they brought on a secondary or maybe even a
did they just do like some kind of essay contest throughout like Canada so that they didn't even have to pay writers? And they just
Where
like,
did these minis come from? Who wrote them? Why? Who wrote them? Yeah, no, we're going to do some research. And
I'm not doing any research.
I'll do
Don't
research.
Speak for me.
All right, sorry. I won't speak for Caroline because she does not like research. Or at least I like research. I'm going to do some research into like what the fuck is going on with these minis, who wrote them. And then I think that would be a fun thing to kick off the next four pack of minis with. So
we would like to take a moment to thank our Patreon subscribers. Tay.
Evie.
Miranda.
And an extra special thank you to our Titty Snake producers, Alika.
Brandy.
Chelsea.
Corey.
And Tawny.
Thank you, guys. Love you.
If you'd like to further support our show, you can find us on TikTok and Facebook as Your Mom's Padcast. We also have a Facebook group of the same name. And you can find us on Instagram at YMPadcast. Your Mom's Padcast is available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscriptions and reviews are another great free way to support us. However, if you're interested in supporting us in not free ways, we have a lot of great bonus content on our Patreon, and some great merch at our shop, which can be found at your-moms-padcast-shop.forthwall.com. And remember, that's Padcast, P-A-H-D-C-A-S-T. Thank you.